We've got some wonderful people here in this congregation, do we not? And I'm going to brag on my brother Manny. I tell you what, he's just a real asset. And what he does here, a lot of you will never know everything that he does. But he is just absolutely wonderful. I call him, and this is no joke, I call him my right-hand man. Because if I need something or need to know something or something's going on, I ask Manny. And Manny tells me what I need to know. And he helps me through all these things. And I want you to know also that today in his devotional that he gave for the Lord's Supper, I might as well go and sit down because he did much better than I could ever do. And I want you to know that he was just notified about that, what, today? Yeah, give or take. Yeah. So he put that together real early this morning. So what a fantastic person we have in Manny. Don't forget that, folks. Don't forget that. Okay. I want to talk to you today about being a Christian in today's world. And let's start off in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. It says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what good will it do a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what will a person give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every person according to his deeds.'" Now I want to start off this morning by asking you a question. Do you remember where you were on 9/11 when the planes hit the towers? Today is the anniversary of that event. And a lot of our young people today don't remember that because they weren't born then. But I want you to realize that that changed a lot of things in our life. I remember exactly where I was. I was at County Line High School. I was the high school principal there. And I was also in charge of the FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was in charge of that organization there. And when the event happened, our president, student president of our FCA, came to me and asked me, said, "Can we have a special meeting today?" We always had our meetings on Mondays during our lunchtime. And the students would give up their lunch to come to the meeting. We always had it in the library. Well, this was a Tuesday. And so they asked, "Can we have a special meeting today?" I said, "Yes, most definitely we can." And so I announced it on the intercom that we were going to have a special meeting during our lunchtime that day. And when I walked into the library during lunch, there was only standing room available. We had more students than I had ever seen. But not only did we have more students, the teachers came. Not only did the teachers come, but we had members of our community, parents, board members showed up to be part of that special FCA meeting. And we prayed. We prayed for the lives that were lost. We prayed for our military. We prayed for our president. We prayed for everybody that we thought that we could pray for or thought that we should pray for. But I also want you to understand this also. We prayed for the souls of the ones that flew the airplanes. We prayed for bin Laden. Now, you may think that that's not right. We shouldn't have done that. But I'm going to tell you, yes, we should. Because when we finally got bin Laden, there was no rejoicing in heaven over that. But there is rejoicing in heaven when a lost soul comes to repentance. So folks, we have to pray for our enemies as well. And I want you to know that that all happened because they had taught hatred to their children for thousands of years. Folks, right now, in this world today, I see hatred being preached often. It's not all right to disagree with somebody. Folks, I can tell you right now, if you and I sit in a room together for any length of time, there'll be something sooner or later that we're going to disagree on. You know, it's okay to disagree. As long as you agree on the Word of God. But today, in today's world, what we have more than anything is that instead of agreeing to disagree, we have, I must hate you if you don't agree. That's not the way it's intended. That's not the way it should be. And that's not the way that God wants us to be. And so today, what I want to talk about in our sermon this morning is this. What does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? Because of the hatred that's out there in this world that we see. The hatred on those 24-hour news channels that you watch that are preached back and forth, one side and then the other. Folks, I want you to realize that the hatred that was in those people's minds and in those people's hearts when they flew those airplanes into those towers is the same hatred that's being preached today. But remember the greatest commands. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And understand this as well. Jesus tells us that what difference is it if we just love those who love us? We're no different than the Greeks or the Gentiles because they love those who love them. But when you love your neighbor, that means even if they disagree with you. When you love your neighbor and pray for them who despitefully use you, realize what that means. What did Jesus say when he was on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. What did Stephen say when he was being stoned to death? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Think about those examples. Think about what it means to love your neighbor. You do not want anything bad to happen to them. You want instead that they come to repentance and to the salvation of the Lord that is given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we want. Now, in today's world, we've got a lot of things out there. I've worked with young people all my career as a teacher, a coach, a high school principal. I know what they are going through right now. And I want you to know the internet has not been a friend to our children. So parents, make sure you know what your children are looking at on the internet. But one of the things that's really bad about the internet is the fact that you can post things out there and people not know who you are. And so if I've got a problem with one of the other students in the high school, I can post all these really bad things about them and nobody know who posted it. There are things on the internet that you don't need to be looking at. There are things on the internet, however, that you do need to be looking at. I get on the internet every day. But I'm looking at BibleGateway.com, Bible topics. I'm looking at other preachers and listening to them preach. Every day. You can edify yourself or you can bring yourself down. That's what's available in today's world. So how do we go about being a Christian? First thing is this. I want you to see this in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The church at Antioch was the first church to be called Christians. They were the first church to be called Christians. What does it mean to be a Christian? Y'all should know, I've told you this before. What does it mean to be a Christian? To be what? Christ-like. Very good. Excellent. To be Christ-like. So in your walk today, in your walk yesterday, in your walk tomorrow, did you walk as Christ would have walked? Did you do as Christ would have done? Back several years ago, you know, they had those little elastic things that said WWJD that the kids would wear. It meant, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He forgave those who spitefully used Him. He forgave those who hung Him on the cross, who beat Him. Realize exactly what being Christ-like is. I had a friend of mine in high school back years ago. It's been a few years since I was in high school. But he was talking about this date that he was going on. He's real excited about this date he was going on. This girl, he'd been trying to get her to go out with him for a long time, and she finally said yes, and he was real excited about it. And he said, I went to her house, I picked her up, I knocked on the door, she came out, I opened the car door for her, and I closed the car door, and he said, and as I was going around the car to get in my side, I noticed that she had her head down praying. He said, it changed every plan I had for the entire night. Yeah. Folks, to be Christ-like is to act like Jesus would have acted, to do what Jesus would have done, to be as loving and forgiving as Jesus is. That's what being Christ-like is. Secondly, notice this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, realize exactly what Jesus was telling his apostles here. He's saying it very plainly, that they will persecute you. Do not think for one second, if you hold up Jesus Christ in your life, that you're not going to be persecuted. Because you're going to. People are going to say bad things about you. They're going to say things in which were not true. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to turn away from you. And I'll never forget this when I was in high school and college, 1901. I'll never forget this when I was there, that a lot of times my friends, or people that I called my friends at the time, would not call me to go with them to places. Well, it took me a while to figure it out, but I figured it out. It's because I wouldn't drink. And when I was around them, they would feel bad, or they would be convicted of their drinking when they would look at me and see that I wasn't. So they had a plan. Well, we just won't call him. So they didn't take me. It's okay, I need to study anyway. But when they got too drunk to drive, who did they call? Oftentimes we forget about Jesus Christ too. We forget about prayer. But when we have problems in our life, who do we pray to? You know, we need to pray to God when good things are going on too. But realize in this lifetime, you're going to face persecution. And the reason why you're going to face persecution is one very simple reason. We have an enemy, and it is Satan. And he wants to pull you away from God. Bottom line, that's it. So when you see people that do things that are spitefully using you and saying bad things against you and all these different things that Jesus warns his apostles about right here, realize exactly where that's coming from. It's coming from Satan. That's where it comes from. So be aware of that. To the point that if it comes from Satan, then I don't have a problem with you, but rather I have a problem with Satan because Satan has a problem with me. Because I'm going to stand for God. That's where here its problem comes from. Now, look at this also. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, we like Job. I love Job. I love talking about Job. What a fine person Job was. So much so that God bragged about him. I hope that God can brag about me. But look what Job did. This version says he turned away from evil. I kind of like the King James Version better, which says this: he shunned evil. Would have nothing to do with it. In this life, you're going to have situations come up where evil is going to come right at you. And the best way to do it, and I'm speaking to our young people that are here right now, but the best way to do it is to shun it. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. It was okay that they did not call me to go to their alcohol party. Wouldn't have participated anyway. Not going to be part of that. We're going to turn away from it. We're going to make sure that everybody knows that I'm not part of that. So they stop even calling. Shun it. There's a lot of evil out there. And folks, it doesn't have to be just somebody that's you're talking to that the evil exists. It could be on your television, on your radio. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch. Turn it off. Don't be a part of that. In this life, we're going to have to shun evil. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us this. Do not be mismatched with unbelievers. Therefore, and this actually has two parts. Therefore, number one is don't surround yourself with people who are not Christians. That's what he's saying there in 2 Corinthians. If they are not Christians, don't be unequally yoked with those people. But rather, the second part of that is rather spend your time with Christian people. Because what do? They build you up. They help you in your walk. And you can talk to those people about your life and things that are happening in your life, and they will help you through that. Because a lot of times they've been through the same thing you're going through now. Realize that. Christian people bring joy to your life. Tim was talking about that this morning, about how he loves being here. Folks, I love being here. I do. And man, he said, you come by, you know, and we stay an hour after we're supposed to leave and all that stuff. You know, my office hours are from 8 to noon, but I think I left one time at noon this week. Usually it's 1, 1:30. Do what?
Maybe.
I think it's the day you weren't here. Yeah. Folks, that doesn't bother me a bit. Matter of fact, I thoroughly enjoy it. And I want y'all to know something about Bob right there. He came and picked me up the other day, took me around to see some people and to visit with some people, and took me around some things in Poto, and took me up there on top of the mountain where he lives. I've never been up there. But you know what I like more than just seeing the stuff? Is being around Bob. What a great guy. I love being around Bob. I love talking to him. Folks, that's what Christians are about. And I want you to know, you are my brothers, you are my sisters. And I want to be around you. This also I need you to see. Mark chapter 4, verse 8. In this life, folks, we need to grow. We need to increase. We need to continue to work to become better Christians. When I stop working to become a better Christian is when I will see Jesus face to face. I want you to understand that. We can always do better. We can always get better. We can always do more. Strive to do those things. Strive to be like Jesus Christ. Learn of Him. Learn how to be better to your neighbors. Learn how to treat people with kindness. Paul got on to them for not growing. He said, y'all are still feeding on milk when you should be feeding on the meat of the word. Well, grow a little. Expand your knowledge. Feed on the meat of the word. And you've got some great opportunities this week, tonight, right here in this congregation. If you would like, at 6 o'clock, we're going to meet together and we're going to start a Bible study on the Sermon on the Mount tonight. Tuesday night, we're starting a Bible study on the heroes of the Bible, starting with Abraham. Wednesday night, we have a Bible study on the life of Jesus Christ and the harmony of the Gospels. We've got Bible teachers. We've got Connect Group leaders. We've got people that are here that will help you to grow in knowledge and wisdom. Use it. Use it. This part is probably one of the most important when it comes to being a Christian in today's world. You must let your light shine. Jesus lives in you. Let Him shine through you. I've told you this before. If you have to ask somebody whether or not they're a Christian, there's a problem. You ought to know they're a Christian. How? By how they live their life. By the light that is shining within them. That is how you know that they are a Christian. Jesus even said so. You will know them in that they have love one for another. You know them. Let your light shine, because, and the last that I'm going to put up there here for you to see is also in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, but it talks about you are the salt of the earth. Did you know your life may be the only Bible people read? I was shocked one day. I had a young man in my office, and this actually shocked me. I don't know why it shocked me, but it did. I started talking to him, and I don't remember what the situation was, but I was trying to help him through this situation, and again, I don't know what it was. But on my desk, I had the Ten Commandments on my desk. On this side of my desk, I had 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, what we call the love chapter. And then on this side of my desk over here, I had my Bible. And it was open. It was just a normal day at school. But I want you to know something. That young man saw all that. And he asked me, he said, do you believe in God? I said, most definitely. And then I said, can't you tell? He said, yeah, I knew there was something. But he said to me, he said, you know, this is a 17-year-old kid. I've never been in a church. And I looked at him real funny. I said, "You've never been in a church?" "No." I said, "Well, have you ever gone to a funeral in a church?" "No." "What about a wedding? Have you ever gone to a wedding in a church?" "No." "I've never been to a church." And he said to me, and this was an honest statement that he made, he said, "I wouldn't know how to act if I walked in one." I tell you that story because at that time, I was the only Bible he saw. Folks, it's amazing, the fact that you go into Walmart or you go into any store, anywhere, and you're going to see a lot of people there that don't know God. You're going to see a lot of people there that don't know Jesus Christ. And you are their only hope. Let your light shine. And realize in letting your light shine that you are the salt of the earth. You are the seasoning. You are the one that brings love to everybody else. You are the one that people notice. They take account of. They see you and they respond to you. You are that person. And that's why Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. He told us to go and do that because we are the light. We are the salt. We are the ones that bring salvation to the lost by teaching the Word of God. Folks, I want you to understand one thing before I close today. We see our world. We see the evil that is in our world. We see oftentimes in our world, we see hatred that is being preached. But I want you to know something. Me being the amateur historian that I am, it was worse in Jesus' time. Ever think of that? There was no Bible Belt in Jesus' time. There were leaders who would crucify people for entertainment for their guests at dinner. They would set the bodies of the people that were hanging on the cross on fire to light the streets. If you think we have corruption in our government, we don't hold a candle to what they had. So realize this. If Jesus could come during that time like that, that's far worse than what we are experiencing today. If Jesus could come at a time like that, and through his teachings, through his life, he could change the entire world. Think about the small world that you have that you could change. Think about the people that are around you that you could help. Folks, it's time to be a Christian. It's time to step up. It's time to be as Christ. And if you have a need this morning for our prayers or for baptism, we want to give you the opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.